One of the reasons GPs give antibiotics for a sore throat is their belief that bacterial sore throats caused by a germ known as group A strep can cause a seriously damaging immune response called rheumatic fever. That's not necessarily as true as they once thought, and it's led to a fascinating trial in Fiji of a treatment for a skin condition called scabies, which is common in parts of Australia too. Here's one of the researchers, Associate Professor Andrew Steer, an infectious disease paediatrician who leads the Group A Strep Research Group at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute in Melbourne.
Rheumatic fever is this autoimmune disease that leads to chronic rheumatic heart disease. And about a decade ago or longer, there was an observation in the Northern Territory of Australia, and I've also seen the same thing in my work in Fiji, that there's lots of rheumatic fever and lots of rheumatic heart disease, but there's not a lot of sore throat, but there's an awful lot of skin disease. So it's led to the hypothesis that skin disease with group A strep, most likely secondary to all of this scabies, contributes in some way to the high rates of rheumatic fever and rheumatic heart disease.
Because when I was in medical school, we were taught it's a strep sore throat that causes rheumatic fever.
Yeah, we're starting to think that maybe that what you were taught in those textbooks could be wrong. Scabies has been around for a long time. It's a microscopic mite. It's about 0.5 millimetres in size, so you can't see it. And the female adult burrows under the skin and lays eggs and fecal pellets and creates a very intense itch, particularly at night time. The problem with scabies is that through that itch, it keeps you awake at night. So children are tired when they're going to school. It costs money for families in treatment, and often the treatment is futile.
How has it been treated?
In Australia, the first-line treatment is a cream called permethrin, which you need to put on the skin and leave for at least 8 hours and then wash it off, and you need to reapply again a week later. There are some newer treatments, which are oral tablets, and one of them is called ivermectin, which we'll talk about, I think, shortly. The itching and the scratching is very annoying, but we think one of the really important things about scabies is that itching and scratching introduces bacteria, particularly the staph bacteria and the strep bacteria. So you get skin sores around those scabies sites, and then that leads to potentially more severe skin soft tissue infections like abscesses and cellulitis. Those bacteria can cross the skin into the bloodstream, causing severe sepsis. They can also contribute to kidney disease through an autoimmune process, and there is a potential link with rheumatic fever and rheumatic heart disease. And rheumatic fever and rheumatic heart disease are really big problems in the Northern Territory of Australia, in Indigenous populations, and also in many low and middle income countries.
And that's a reaction to the streptococcus bug.
That's right. What we've all thought traditionally is that you get a sore throat caused by the strep bacteria, and you have an abnormal immune response with antibodies in the body that attack the heart and other parts of the body to cause rheumatic fever. And then you end up with chronic rheumatic heart disease, which can be very debilitating and is a very important cause of premature mortality in the world.
So tell me this trial you did in Fiji.
In the populations we worked in, over one third of the population have scabies at any one time, and about one quarter have skin sores. So it's hard to imagine that in a place like Melbourne, but it's very common in the Pacific. So the trial was looking at a concept called mass drug administration of antiparasitic drugs has been used extensively throughout the world. Over 2 billion doses of ivermectin have been given to people for the control of river blindness or onchocerciasis.
And this is in Africa, largely.
Africa, that's right, yeah, and lymphatic filariasis.
And in fact, this is a sheep dip. This is a cattle dip, which then was found to be effective in parasitic diseases and has saved millions of lives around the world.
That's absolutely correct. And in fact, the discoverers of ivermectin were recognised for their discovery this year. They shared the Nobel Prize for Medicine with the discoverer of artemisinin and derivatives for malaria.
So this strategy is you give it to everybody regardless of whether they've got scabies.
That's right. What we have recognised, there's some nice work from the Northern Territory of Australia, is that you treat a patient and then they go back into their community and they just get reinfested because it's a highly infectious disease.
So you catch it from somebody else, not from the bed sheets or things like that.
That's right. And you also don't catch it from dogs and other animals. It's a human pathogen.
So the theory is if you get rid of it from all humans, you're not going to get reinfected.
That's the idea. Exactly correct.
And what did you do in this study?
We chose three island groups. There was some movement between the islands, but overall not much movement. And we had a different strategy for each island. The first group of islands, we gave everybody ivermectin with a small caveat, which was the young children and pregnant and breastfeeding women can't take ivermectin, so we gave them a cream. And then everybody who we diagnosed with scabies at baseline, we gave them another dose of ivermectin 7 days later. So that's the first group. The second group, we gave everybody permethrin. And if they had scabies, they got a second dose of permethrin 7 days later.
Which is the traditional treatment.
Traditional treatment, yes, although it was a mass administration approach. So the third island was the true traditional treatment, which was...
We treat it, but we don't treat other people.
Exactly. We recommend treatment to the contacts, but we just follow the standard guidelines.
What did you find?
All three island groups had a prevalence of around one third of scabies and around one quarter of skin sores. We'll start with the standard treatment group first. The prevalence in that group fell by half. And then in the permethrin group, so the mass administration, it fell by 62%. And then in the ivermectin group, it fell by 94%, so from one-third to less than 2%.
So was it maintained at 12 months?
Yeah, it was maintained 12 months, that's right.
What are the implications of this, for example, in the Northern Territory or in Aboriginal communities in Australia?
There's two important implications. One is that our study supports the findings of a similar trial in East Arnhem. In that trial, there was a lower prevalence of scabies at baseline. There was no control arm. It was a before and after study. But there was a reduction in scabies with the first dose of ivermectin at 6 months. And then, interestingly, there was a patient that came into the community with this condition called crusted scabies, which is different to ordinary scabies. So with what we call ordinary scabies, you have probably around 10 to 15 mites on your body. With crusted scabies, you have hyperinfestation, so you have millions of mites. And those patients are being termed core transmitters. And so when that patient entered the community, there was an increase in scabies prevalence again. But with another dose of ivermectin, it came down. And so that trial showed that it can work in the Northern Territory and also showed the importance of managing patients with crusted scabies. The second thing I think that's really important is that at the moment, permethrin is licensed for treatment for scabies as first line and ivermectin as second line. And I think the results of our studies have some implications about, you know, what treatments you choose for patients with scabies.
Two questions. Is it affordable and does resistance arise when you're mass treating everybody?
We are looking down the track to finding ways to get reduced prices for ivermectin. In Australia, it's licensed as a different form and costs more money, but you can get a streamlined authority to get it a bit cheaper. So it's an important, really important point looking down the track for the use of ivermectin for control of scabies in communities where it's common.
And does resistance arise when you're mass treating everybody?
There's been one or two cases of resistance to ivermectin described in Australia in patients who have had many, many doses of ivermectin. So we know that it can occur. It's not seen frequently, and it will be important to monitor that in the future, but we don't see it as a major stumbling block at this stage. One of the really important next steps will be looking at its effects on the number of cases of rheumatic fever and the number of cases of rheumatic heart disease.
Associate Professor Andrew Steer, who's an infectious disease paediatrician and leads the Group A Streptococcal Research Group at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute in Melbourne.